Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. This is Gernard Reed. I am your host on this evening of Jeremiah Speaks. It's a beautiful rainy evening outside, and we're just enjoying God's architecture and craftsmanship. This is Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. This is Preaching Tuesday. We're going to bring you a word from the Lord. Before that, our contact information is goteachandbaptize@gmail.com. Once again, it's goteachandbaptize@gmail.com. Our phone information is 804-313-7853. Feel free to text. Call us, 804-313-7853. Grab your pen and your pencil. I hope we have a word from the Lord. If that's something you want to challenge, look up, study, or go deeper into, we offer you that opportunity. We hope to give this information again at the end of the broadcast. Again, this is the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. We come to you in tandem with the Fivefold Ministry and Apostle Margie Mercer, who immediately follows at 7:30 p.m. We turn with me, if you will, to the book of St. Mark, the 12th chapter, and we'll do verses 12 through 17. St. Mark, the 12th chapter, and verses 12 through 17. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off and having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereof. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they come to Jerusalem. And Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrow the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. He taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called my house of nations, the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. This is the word of God to the people of God. Even so saith the Spirit. Let us pray. All wise, eternal God, and our righteous King, we come before you on this beautiful evening. We come to preach the word of God. We come to bring the message that you've given to your servant. Father, we pray that you'll take this servant, turn him upside down, empty out anything in him that's not straight or not right with you, turn him back right side up, and fill him with the filling of the Holy Ghost, seal him with the seal of the Holy Spirit, that he may preach and utter that which you give unto him. Father, we pray that this servant will bring the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. And then we pray for anyone anywhere that may be listening this evening, that the word of God will be able to get through and break through and go to wherever they are. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will take away all distractions, anything that's going wrong with somebody's phone, anything that's wrong with the radio service. Father, we pray that you'll cover that. Take care of that. We pray, Father, that you'll get us in focus, that the hearers will hear you. Father, we pray that any distractions such as arthritis and aches and pains, take them away, Lord. Take them away at least for the delivery of this word. Father, we pray that you will take away those things that get us out of focus. Oh, our children and our monies and our woes, take those things away that we might hear from you, for that when your word goes forth, it will not return unto you void, but will accomplish wherever it is sent. We know that your word says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying into the church. Speak, O Lord, to the church right now, that your word and your will may be done. This we ask and offer in Jesus, his precious, holy, and righteous name we pray. Amen. We're using on a fourth subject today, coming at you from the book of St. Mark, no figs, no fruit, no figs. And no fruit. Most local counties in Virginia have established ordinances regarding vehicles which sit in the front or the backyard of somebody's home. They say it just doesn't look right to have vehicles sitting around in your yard which don't work anymore. If the vehicle is not properly tagged and taxes paid, the county will be glad to remove your old car and charge you for it. They call them eyesores and all kinds of other things they say about old junk cars sitting up in your yard, and even cars sitting on blocks. And then some cars look like they're ready to be driven right now, but they're not good for anything. They just look on the outside like a car. Some of them don't have transmissions in them. Some of them don't have engines in them. Well, the county and the local authorities are saying, get that stuff out of your yard if it doesn't run. My pastor used to say, anything that's garbage need to be thrown in the trash. Well, if I have as a customer an issue with my DirecTV, I call customer service. And because they are DirecTV customer service, I expect them to know their product and to be able to help the customer. I don't want to hear them say, I don't know. You are customer service. You are there to resolve this customer's issues. Why are you getting paid and taking those people's money and taking my money if you don't know what you're doing? I don't expect to call into a company and they not be able to understand my problem and help me work through it. I don't want to hear them talk about, well, don't nobody in this office treat me right. I don't want to hear that. When I talk to that company, I expect everybody I talk to with that company to be a representative, Lord have mercy, of that company. And if they're not, I have no use for them. They're no help to me if they can't, if they just look like an employee and wear a uniform but don't know what they're doing. And so that's what I hear when I hear a hungry Jesus go to a fig tree, leap through the fig, go through the leaves and find no fruit, get offended, disappointed, and angry, and then curse the tree. I wonder if he looks at me like that. As Jesus and the entourage ascended the hill approaching one of the gates leading into Jerusalem, Jesus was hungry. Can I say that again? As Jesus approached Jerusalem, knowing that this is the last week of his life, and knowing that he wasn't just going to be killed on Calvary's Hill, knowing that I'm going to go in and teach in the temple courts. I haven't been here since the last festival. It's time to go to Jerusalem. Jesus came into Jerusalem, according to Mark 11, riding on a donkey in a celebrated fashion. You know something was going to happen down there. The next day on Monday, he comes back in, and on his way in, he's a little hungry. As he approaches Jerusalem, he goes and he sees the fig tree. I know what it is. I personally like this story here, for I can connect with Jesus. Whenever you can connect with Jesus, everything's going to be all right. I know what it's like to be on assignment when my stomach takes to growling. Oh, I wish somebody would pray with me. I maintain my focus, and I keep pressing on until I got to the Subway store. Somebody work with me, if you will. I entered the Subway store, began looking within my wallet for some Subway coupons. And I was on the job, and I wasn't planning to stop for lunch, but my stomach took to growling. And when my stomach took to growling, I said, I'd be better off. I feel like I'm getting weak, if you will. I'd be better off if I got me something to eat right now. So I went that evening to the Subway store, and I entered the store and began looking in my wallet for some coupons. And, well, will I get steak and cheese, or will I get Black Forest ham? Somebody's been to the Subway before. And I approached the counter only to be greeted with, sir, we're closed. And I said, your lights are on. The sign says open. I'm in the store. And the hours that you have posted right here say you don't close for another hour. I need a sub. The lady looks at me and she says, sir, we are closed. But there's plenty of food in the server right there. And I came here specifically to get a sub. I was hungry. I was anticipating a hot sandwich. What began as a stomach growl had become a loud roar. Now I'm angry. I'm seriously angry. I left the store just a fussing and a carrying on. Likewise, Jesus was angry. And I can feel his hunger turn into anger when he reaches a beautiful and a majestic fig tree. Jesus was going up the hill into Jerusalem. Jesus must have seen the beautiful green fig trees lining the gate outside of the city. Jesus' stomach growling, he must have said to himself, man, I'm hungry. You know, when you see food on the way, you get even more hungry. And you were a little bit hungry before you actually laid eyes on your future meal. And Jesus is looking at this majestic tree standing by the gate, and he said, I'm going to go and get me some figs. Jesus goes to the fig tree. And when he reaches a beautiful and majestic fig tree, all he can find is there's no fruit on the tree. So Jesus curses the fig tree. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. It says he cursed the fig tree, and he said, you'll never bring forth any fruit again. He cursed the tree. The disciples heard it. Now, once in Jerusalem, Jesus sees now the beautiful temple, the beautiful Jerusalem temple, the replica of the architectural masterpiece commissioned by King Solomon. This temple to Jesus is my Father's house. Can somebody talk back to me if you can? Jesus sees in this temple, this is my Father's house. Come and go with me to my Father's house. There's joy in my Father's house. There's beauty in my Father's house. Come and go with me. Everything is all right in my Father's house. He sees the temple, my Father's house. As he admires it, he must pause and appreciate how my Father loves this nation, how my Father loves the Jewish people, how my Father loves the people that he has blessed, the glory and majesty that's found in my Father's house. Once inside the temple courts, Jesus sees and hears the commotion as he sidesteps folk that are cutting across the temple courts to get to the other side of the town, to the market, or to the other side to go to somewhere else. Jesus sidesteps this one, and this one sidesteps him. Jesus begins to witness the lines of people and hears and sees and smells animals pinned up in the temple courts waiting to be purchased for a holy sacrifice. He sees the money changers seated at the tables, offering prices like a livestock auction right there in the temple courts. Any appreciation and expectations are now turned to anger as he sees the temple itself as just another tree, bearing no fruit, just another tree. But just like with the fruit tree, the fig tree covered in green leaves, but bearing no figs, the temple looks like a good place and a grand place of worship, but they made it a den of thieves. Lord, have mercy. You got it. You got it. The preacher is saying that Jesus cursed the fig tree, that Jesus cursed the fig tree and the temple alike. You got it, because neither of them was bearing any fruit. The fig tree and the temple both look good from a distance. Talk back to me if you can. They look mighty good from on the other side of the street. But as Jesus closed in on the fig tree, as Jesus closed in on the temple, he found that they had been beautiful to the eyes, but there was no fruit on the tree, and there was no fruit in the temple. Talk back to me if you can. Fig tree and the temple both looked good from a distance. They both excited Jesus' hunger from afar, but both disappointed and made him angry once he drew close and searched them for fruit. Then the next day on the way back into Jerusalem, on Tuesday, Peter said to Jesus, he points out, look at the fig tree. The fig tree had withered up and died. Peter was excited about that thing. Peter looked at Jesus and said, Master, look at the fig tree. It has withered up and died. And Jesus just casually said, have faith in God. That's got to be tied in here somewhere, that we must have some kind of faith if we're going to bear good fruit. And if we get our eyes off of God and don't have faith even as a grain of mustard seed, that our fruit will suffer. Fig tree had withered up and died.
Jesus simply responded, have faith in God. And then at the end of the day, also on Tuesday, at the end of the day, one of his disciples said to Jesus about the temple. And in Mark 13:1, he says about the temple, Master, see what manner of buildings and stones are here. And look at that, this grand craftsmanship that we got here. Look at that, what God has given us. Look how God has blessed us. Watch out, somebody. Look at how God has blessed us. And Jesus takes a look and he sees, see thou these great buildings. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, I see these great buildings. Thou shalt not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. That temple was cursed like the fig tree because it bore no fruit. You know, sometimes we get to boasting about the buildings where we worship. We get to boasting about some of the things in the building where we worship. We even sometimes boast about the money in the bank that was a part of our worship. We even boast about how God is, this is what we say, God has really blessed us. We have the favor of God. The favor of God is on us when we're talking about stuff. We bought these church vans, but we didn't get these vans. God blessed us with these vans. Look at these new vans. We got a bus. Look at us. We got a bus. Look here. We got these new choir robes. Nothing but the goodness of the Lord that allowed us to get these choir robes. But I want to know what's going on when you put the robe on. I want to know how much faith went into that. I want to know what kind of fruit are you bearing with the robes. What kind of fruit are we bearing with the van? What kind of fruit are we bearing with the bus? Or are we just saying we got a nice sound system because everybody else got one? Jesus cursed the temple because it looked like it was bearing fruit. But deep down on the inside, when he searched it and ran his hands all over it, he found, all I can find in here is the money changers making money in the temple. I can find folk that are selling animals and birds for sacrifice, making money in the temple. All I can find is animals waiting in the pen to be slaughtered outside of the temple. Can't you do that somewhere else? Can't you make your money somewhere else? Can't you do something other than set up these strangers to come and pay to serve the Lord? Well, I got to keep moving now because I don't have all night to preach this gospel, so I got to keep moving. When I look at what the Lord has put before me here. Let me see if I can find my place 3 days later. So he came in on the donkey on Sunday. Y'all remember the donkey? Came in on the donkey on Palm Sunday. And then he comes back into Jerusalem on Monday, cursed the fig tree on the way in, according to Mark. Amen. And then we find that he cursed the temple by overturning the tables and by running out the money changers and those that were sitting and handling the money in the temple. And we find that he cursed the fig tree because it looked like a fruit-bearing tree, but indeed it was not. He cursed the temple because it looked like it was producing fruit, and it was not. And now he's gone out, and he comes back in the next day, and on the way in, Peter says, Master, look at the tree. It's all withered up and gone. And Jesus said, have faith in God. Went in and taught in the temple courts that had been cleaned up. He went in and taught to the little children. He went in and taught to the Gentiles that had gathered. He went in and taught to his foes, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Bible says he taught to the scribes and the Herodians. He taught. And he upset some folk. Some folk got mad at his teaching, and he taught, but he kept on pressing on. And Jesus, he taught them, but he kept on pressing on. Well, it says that Jesus, after he finished teaching, that he worked with me here. I'm trying to get my voice right here. After he finished teaching, it says one of his disciples looked at him and talked about these buildings and how great they were. They talked about, look at the stonework. Look at the craftsmanship. Jesus said to them, not one building will be left upon another. That temple was cursed just like the fig tree
because it bore no fruit. But I came with a good word that 3 days later, that on Friday afternoon, that around about 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon, that Jesus was hanging on the cross. Y'all know the story that when Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost, there came an eclipse. There came a thunderstorm, and there came a great earthquake. And in the midst of the eclipse, in the midst of the thunderstorm, and in the midst of the earthquake, all the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. The old covenant was given the boot. The old covenant was finished. When Jesus cried, it is finished. When Jesus cried out and gave up the ghost, the temple was rent in the veil was rent in the temple from top to bottom, signifying that this temple has been here. It's been a mighty good temple for a mighty good time. It's looked like a great temple for an even longer time. But this temple has lost its purpose. This temple has lost its way. I'm going to rip the veil that separated the temple sanctuary from the Holy of Holies. I'm going to rip it from top to bottom. I'm going to rip this veil from top to bottom. Why? Because I've given you my son. You don't need to worship in this temple anymore, because I'm going to do something new with the temple. And then he said, I run the animals out, because you don't need the animals and you don't need to buy a lamb when you get to Jerusalem, because I'm giving you my son, the Lamb of God. Oh, Lord have mercy. I wish somebody would work with me today that Jesus is the Lamb of God. He's the ultimate sacrifice. No longer do we have to kill goats and lambs and do all manner of those things anymore, because God has given us his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have an everlasting life, and have it, even as Jesus said, more abundantly. And so now everything has been changed. All the change has come, and Jesus has made a way with his death, and God has sent his son, and just as he promised. And on the third day, the sun rose with all power in his hand and went all the way. He said, meet me in Galilee. They come all the way back to Jerusalem. He says, meet me in Jerusalem. And he says, I want y'all to go to Jerusalem. And as Jesus is about to ascend into the heavens, he said to them, meet me in Jerusalem. About 120 disciples, they went over into Jerusalem. They went over into Jerusalem. And when they got over in Jerusalem, they waited in an upper room. And they were all on one accord and in one place. Everybody in one place and on one accord waiting on Jesus. Ain't that a mighty good thing that we're waiting on our change to come? We're waiting on Jesus. We're waiting for the Lord to lead us, to keep us. We're trusting in what he has promised us. And so they were there in the upper room, and we know the story, that the Holy Ghost came like a mighty rushing wind, and it poured out on the people, and they poured out into the street. And we know that the Holy Ghost has come on the day of Pentecost. Well, one of the things that Jesus told them is that Jesus said that the Holy Ghost is going to bring all things to your remembrance. I got to wrap this thing up. Here Jesus said the Holy Ghost is going to bring all things into your remembrance. And so one of the things it's going to bring to your remembrance is that for a good tree brings forth, a good tree does not bring forth corrupt fruit. Neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. Every tree is known by its own fruit. Now, Luke said in 6:43, a tree shall be known by its fruit. Then it brings back, the Holy Ghost brings back to our remembrance that Jesus said in Matthew 7:19, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. In other words, every tree that does not bear good fruit, all those signifying trees, all of those perpetrating trees, you're just hanging around and looking good. You got on an outstanding suit and patent leather shoes. You got on glasses when you don't even have a vision problem. You got a hat on your head and it ain't cold outside. He's saying to those trees that one day you're going to be cursed and thrown into the fire. He's talking about us, church. He's talking about us. He's talking about the church of the living and true God, the called out community,
set apart from the sinful world. He's talking about the church that's running along and acting like the church, but not being the church. The church that's all about this and all about that, but the faith and the truth and the light of the Lord does not appear within us. He's talking about the church gonna curse us like the fig tree if we don't bear some fruit. We ought to be producing some fruit. Everybody doesn't produce the same fruit, but everybody ought to be bringing some fruit. And then we remember that the Holy Ghost brings all things to our remembrance. And then we said Paul, the Apostle Paul got in this thing. And Apostle Paul says that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Lord have mercy. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:16 that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, then you ought to act like a temple. You ought to protect and preserve the temple. You ought to act like you are a holy temple of God, because God has set us up with to be the righteousness of God. God has set us up as his own children. God has set us up not to be signifying Christians, but God has set us up to be followers of the King who act like Jesus and will indeed occupy until he comes. So don't be a signifying imposter like the fig tree was. Don't be signifying folk temple like they had there in Jerusalem, but be the real thing. Just like Coca-Cola used to say, we the real thing. Be the real thing. Be who God has called us to be. Do as the Father has blessed us to do. This is the word of God for the people of God. No figs and no fruit. But he's not talking about us. No figs and no fruit is cursed. But we ought to bear good fruit. We ought to be what the temple was not. We ought to be what the fig tree couldn't be. We ought to be instant. In season and out of season. That's what Paul said to Timothy. The Bible tells us that the fig tree was out of season, but it looked like it was in season. But Paul tells Timothy to be instant in season and out of season. We ought to bear good fruit and be the temple of the Holy God. Not only would Jesus not curse us, but the Lord will bless us. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. This has been the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. Once again, you can reach us. You can reach us at 804-313-7853. 804-313-7853. You can email us at goteachandbaptize, goteachandbaptize@gmail.com. We are now going to segue into the Fivefold Ministry with Apostle Margie Mercer. Please, we have an interruption here. We have a storm. And so give us a few seconds, and we'll segue into the Fivefold Ministry with Apostle Margie Mercer. So stay tuned and hear the Fivefold Ministry. This is the word of God for the people of God from Jeremiah Speaks. May the Lord bless and keep you. Amen.
God bless you so much. Truly, we enjoyed that word from Reverend Reed. We thank you so much for listening to him each week, Monday through Fridays, from 7 o'clock up until 7:30 p.m. God bless you. We want to be like Jesus. We thank you so much for listening to Jeremiah Speak as well as the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. We would like to get into our next segment at this time. We ask you to take off your shoes to relax as we go into the intercourse. Amen.
A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Thank you that the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. Thank you that death shall be swallowed up in victory, and we will see her face again. Thank you that we'll see Jesus. We will be there when they crown him Lord of Lords. I wish I had 10,000 times just to thank you. If I were Chinese, I'd say Obia. If I were Danish, I'd say Manga Pop. If I were Italian, I'd say Bumpia. If I were Hebrew, I'd say Toda Raba. If I were Greek, I would say Eucharisto. If I were Japanese, I'd say Roba Arigato. If I were Portuguese, I'd say Obligado. If I were Spanish, I'd say Muchas Gracias. If I were German, I'd say Danke Schön. If I were French, I'd say Merci Beaucoup. If I were Russian, I'd say Spasiba. If I were Kenyan, I'd say Ashanta. If I were Nigerian, I'd say Eche Pupo. If I were Zulu, I'd say India Bonga. If I were Tutu, I'd say King Ali Boha. If I were deaf, I'd say...
Yes, we like to say thank you and praise God's name and amen. Truly, he is our Lord. He is our Savior as we know him, as All Nation Music was playing for us yesterday. We want to play it again. It is called Yahweh with Chandler Moore, because truly we know him. Amen.
We lift you high.
Yes, the songwriter says, we lift you high. Truly, we want to lift our Lord high. We thank him so much as we go through so many things in our lives, including storms and weather changes and all type of viruses that's out here. But we know that we are able to count on our Lord. We're listening to All Nations Music, which is Yahweh. And truly, we love the Lord. We love to abase ourselves. We love to pull on the hem of his garment and to say, God, hear my, love me, save me, and take care of me. Let us go in now and just listen a little bit more to Yahweh. Amen. Songwriter says that every time we can mention his name, we can call on the name of Jesus, and he will be there for us. As I said to you yesterday, one of the greatest evangelists and a good friend that I had met was Evangelist Iola Locke, really, which was one of my friends at First Apostolic Faith Church. I was able to meet her as well as other ladies in the ministry coming through the apostolic faith under none other than Apostle Bishop Kania Showell at First Apostolic Faith Church. We were with Bible Way. I met Bishop Locke as well as Bishop Jackie McCullough, Bishop Vestai McKenzie, Juanita Bynum, and so many others that I was fortunate enough to be in the good graces of these powerful women, and I was able to learn and to enjoy and to be molded and shaped by the bishop himself. So I want to, if I can, because we had electrical difficulty I was telling you about yesterday, that we're on the East Coast and we're dealing with lights in and out, storms, hurricanes, small tornadoes that's going up and down the East Coast, and our electricity was out. So hopefully that this will work again today. I'd just like you to hear just a little bit of her sermon just to encourage you and inspire you. Hopefully we can listen to it. Amen.
Home. It wasn't no charge for nothing. All they had to do was receive him for who he was. He was the Christ of God. He had the ability and the power to set them free. He could have turned Nazareth right side up and upside down and inside out, and wouldn't have had no problem doing it. He could have emptied it of all of its demon powers and pulled down strongholds and cast from hell. He could have plucked up the root of the enemy and cast down every high and evil thing. He could have went into their churches and into their synagogues. He could have cast out the enemy and everywhere he was. He preached and identified to them who he was. How come he didn't do it to the disciples? He kept hiding until a certain time. And he tells people that have grown up with him who he really is. I can help you. I can deliver you. I can set you free. I can give you what you need most. I can heal your broken heart. I can deliver. I can give you peace for your trouble. But they would not accept him. They rejected him. accepted him because he was just Jesus. Mary's boy. He was just Jesus. Well, what the Lord says to us here in 1990, because what's getting ready to break out in Chicago is going to be madness. What we don't want to do is reject Jesus. How do we reject him in 1990s? How do we in this particular decade reject Jesus? Well, we reject him because we have worked with him and he has worked with us for years. But when it comes time for us to do the work of God, then we reject him. Now, how do you do that? Well, the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, it talks about a time whereby which, when there would be captives among us, and those that would be going through tests and trials and tribulations, and the thing that we could do, would we have the power, if we just do it according to the word of God, we have the power to loose them and set them free. We've got the power to heal and to deliver them. But if all we want to do is just come in and hear the word and don't want to be a part of the word, then we reject Jesus again. We can see the tears, we can hear the pain, we can hear the groanings and the cries. But all we do is keep on just coming in church, but we don't respond to the totality of the responsibility of the word for us. You've got to understand that the job of what Jesus did yesterday is still on record for today. We are the modern day believers and the mantle has been passed down. Jesus is living in you to set the captive free. He has bought and broken and birthed himself in you. He has washed and cleansed and sanctified you. He has opened your eyes and loosed your bands of wickedness so that you could firsthand know he's able to set the captive free. But you are not the only captive. He said after he would come in your life, it was your job to go about and witness loosing others who have been bound by maybe the same thing or something different. Every soul that is bound by sin, we can loose them. We can set the captive free. But because we're around home, we do the same thing. We see the same old drunks, the same old prostitutes. We see the same old hangarounds and keep on walking by them. The same old bus tramps, the same old garbage ladies. We see the same old bad people, but we don't do anything about it. We're right here in the midst, having the ability to loose them and set them free. But we reject the will of Jesus. We reject the desire of Jesus to loose them that are bound, to set the captive free. It is reversed. Jesus tried to set Nazareth free, and now he's trying to set Chicago free. And he needs you to get up from where you are and believe the word for what he said it is. Isaiah said, listen, is this the path that I've chosen? For you to have debates one with the other? Is this the path that I've chosen where you would point the finger and be accusers of one another? He said, no, not at all. I chose a path for the people of God so that when they would fast, they could loose. Same thing. Loose the bands of wickedness. They could undo the heavy burden. They could set the oppressed free. Same thing. We do it through fasting. We do it through praying and fasting. We can loose them. I know AIDS got them, and I know that death has got its hold on people that have AIDS. But listen, if we fast and if we pray and if we humble, we can loose them. We can loose the captives and we can loose them that are bound. We can still loose those that are blind, those that can't hear, and those that can't walk. But there's got to be a desire. If there's no desire to see somebody free, those that are bound will stay bound. Those that are captive will stay captive. Those that are in prison will stay locked in prison. Somebody somewhere has got to have an ache to go home. To go home and shake up home. And shake up their street. And God, shake up where I live. And shake up the lanes and shake up the ways. And shake up North Chicago and South Chicago and West and East Chicago. And I'm going to fast, God. And I'm going to give over to the will of God. Because you just didn't call me. me to go to church. You called me to loose the captive. You called me to set the oppressed free. Don't you understand, 1992 Christian, in this decade and era of the 90s, the thing that helped Satan is a sleeping church. The thing that helps the enemy is a lazy belief. One that feels like going to church is enough. You've got to get dissatisfied with just going to church. You've got to get dissatisfied when things are not happening. You ought to want to see healing and deliverance. You ought to want to see tumors drop out, blinded eyes pop open, lame walking, dumb talking. You got to get dissatisfied with always eating a Big Mac and filling your face. You got to get dissatisfied with natural food enough to say, God, there's got to be more to this thing than this. I want to see somebody healed and delivered and set free. Somebody say yes, Lord. There's a price for deliverance. There's a price. There's a price for deliverance. Yeah, folks will reject you. They'll say all kinds of things about you. But the joy is in the work. The joy is when you see. The blind say, I once was blind. Or see the lame say, I couldn't use this leg. Oh, here's somebody that, but you know this hand was, it was dysfunctional. But to be able to see Christ alive and well in planet Earth. Christ wants to be loosed, and we can't keep him bound. We're rejecting the call. We're rejecting the commission. Because there's a price to the call. It's going to cost you some days. You're going to have to turn that plate down. It's going to cost you some me time. You have to hold on in that room until the fire of God comes down. It's going to cost you some prayer time until you say, Lord, I'm not going to be satisfied till you bless me. I've got to see them walk. I've got to hear you say, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm tired of reading that scripture, and ain't nothing happening. I'm tired of going in the church. Ain't nothing happening. I'm tired of going to revival. Ain't nothing happening. Seminars and seminars and teachings and classes. But ain't nothing showing up happening. Come on, Jesus. Manifest yourself as God. Shake up the church. Shake up in the atmosphere. Shake up in the land. So say it. Say it. Say it. Come on, put your hands together and give it the praise. Hallelujah. Come on, shout hallelujah. Come on, shout hallelujah. The same thing is happening. It's just a different age. The scroll is being handed. The word of God is being handed to you. It's your turn now. It's your turn to loose the captive. But you've got to be sick and tired of seeing people weep. Tired of them moaning and groaning. Tired of people crying over the same thing. You've got to be willing to be the Lamb of God. You've got to be able to say, Lord, I'll make the sacrifice. Food ain't that much to me. I can make the sacrifice. I don't have to watch that program. I can make the sacrifice to stand there until you endue me with an anointing of deliverance. You got to understand, the enemy will make mockery of the church if we allow him to. But you got to understand, God is calling us back to what works, prayer and fasting. Look at somebody and say, it works. And that's the reason why, when our nation is in trouble, we need the spirit of an Esther that says, I'm not going to eat today. I'm not going to eat for 3 days. Sick of my people dying. Sick of them going into persecution. Treated like second-class citizens. Eden. Go back and tell my uncle to tell all Israel, we're not eating until God sends deliverance. And if I perish, then I perish. But I'm going to see the king. Second Chronicles chapter 20. You've got to have the spirit of a Jehoshaphat. Enemies around Israel. We are in camp round about. What you going to do when the enemy has incarcerated you? Death is all around you. Trouble is every side you look at. What you going to do? Run? What you going to do? Be intimidated? What you going to do? Hide? Because they won't come take this and come kill that. No, don't you understand? He told Israel, everybody in here, 3.5 million, 3.5 million of us, get away from the table. Back up, turn your plate down. I'm going to God, but you got to stop eating. Step back from the table. We need God to step in here and defeat our enemies. National trouble. It's a nation that says, listen, we got to stop eating. We got to get on our knees and call on God for deliverance. What's going to help the church through this recession is if we bow down in prayer and fasting. God said about Jerusalem, there'll always be bread in Jerusalem. You got to take God at his word. You got to tell God, one of those that depending on you, no matter what comes, demonic hell or high water, I'm going to wait right here because I know you can change the situation. You got to cry out like Hannah. When her womb was shut up, she didn't back up in a corner. Didn't have a baby for days. Folks was laughing at her, talking about her. She was shamed and cast down. But what did she do? Turn that plate down. Called on God. I'm not eating until I hear from God. Yeah, all things used to teach us that. When you want something from God, you got to want it not for the glam. You got to want it because you know it's biblically right. Because it's through you. Because you in right standing with God. You gotta know it's all right with your soul. I'm not in sin, but I'm gonna break this flesh down. This devil got to bow. This devil got to loose me. This devil got to set me free. Loose that plate. Take that fork and throw it down. Turn that glass upside down. Bow your knees and say, Jesus, I'm going to trust him regardless of what the government does. I'm going to trust him regardless of what folk do in my house. I'm going to trust him regardless of what they say on my job. I'm going to trust him regardless of what the economy. together and give God praise. Come on, stand on your feet and give him the praise. Listen. Listen. Don't reject God. Don't reject him. It's not going to get better. But what the church doesn't want to do is become their own problem. Don't reject him. Some of you have been knowing you need to fast. Been knowing you need to get on your knees. Been knowing you've been needing to back up this devil. He's getting too close now. He done walked up in your house. Now he's working in your children. He done walked up in your marriage. He done walked up in your finances. He done strutted up on your job. You've been hearing God. Get busy and do it. Don't reject the things that can help you. Reject Jesus Nazareth. The amazing thing is, Jesus said to them, if Sodom had been here, and the people of the land of Gomorrah, if they had only been here to see, do you know the whole cities, both of them and the plains, would have been converted? And brother, he said, and Chorazin, if they had been here just to see or even hear the gospel, all of them would have been converted. And the city of Nineveh, in its thousands of thousands and tens of thousands, if they had just had a chance to hear the gospel, they would have been converted. But I came here, right here at home, to tell you, I can get you out. I can help you. You reject me. I told you I could heal you. I told you I could deliver you. I'm the one that can set you. I'm the only one that can really set you free. And you rejected me. In 1992, in this era of the 90s, we're rejecting the hope that can help us. Nah, we can't do that. The fast that he's chosen is a fast that will destroy the yokes in your life.
Yes, God bless you. We have just heard from Bishop Aulalot. You know, it's important that things never change. She was saying back then and saying here in 2000 and 2022, we still have to get on our knees. We have to fast. We have to call out to the Lord because truly he's our way out. He's our deliverer. He is the way maker. God bless you again. You have been listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. We thank all of you for tuning in. We thank you for listening to Jeremiah Speaks. And thank you Monday through Friday as you have tuned in to us. God bless you. Have a nice evening. And remember, if God can't do it, it just can't be done. God bless you. Amen.